thank Him, want to praise Him, and want to glorify His wondrous, blessed name forever. It is so wonderful, though, to be in the house of the Lord. And my prayer is that the Lord will lead us together and guide us together always, and that the name of Christ will always be lifted up, always be magnified. I want you to look down at verse 16 with me again. Just going to read about three, maybe four verses of Scripture. This blessed chapter of the Romans that means so much to God's people. But we find that Paul tells us in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then the wrath of God," especially won't you notice that now in verse 18, the Bible is bringing out the great truth there that's very precious to us, great subject there that a little difficult to preach on, actually. I believe you'd find that be true. You teach on the wrath of God, that a little bit different than it is. You know, whenever you preach on something that everyone has just completely agreed with altogether, but this is a very blessed thought in God's Word. Very blessed truth. I trust you listen carefully now to the reading of God's holy Word. Verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I like for us to go, you don't have to turn there, but I like for us to go back to the book of Revelation, that is the last book in the entire Word of God. I'd like for you to just look at a few thoughts we find given unto us in chapter 6 there of the book of Revelation. And I tell you, there's some strange things that God has given unto us in this blessed portion of God's holy Word. Things we don't know too much about, things we never heard too much preaching concerning, but nevertheless, it's a truth that all of us ought to realize is very important. Yes, we ought to realize very important all the days we live here upon this earth, because it's going to determine our destiny to a great extent. The Word of God has a great effect upon your destiny. And so we need to look down at these blessed truths and just praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for these blessed words that have been given unto us, been preserved all these years, and words that mean so much to God's people. We find the Bible letting us know in verse 17, and I'd like to just mention this is one of the most terrifying scenes that I've ever found in all of God's Word. One of the most terrifying scenes that I've ever found in all of God's holy Word. The Bible says, "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now all of us know about God's love. All of us sing about God's love. All of us preach about God's love without any difficulty. But we do know the Word of God makes known unto us that there's coming a day. Yes, there's coming a day when God's wrath is truly going to be meted out upon the whole universe, not just sections of the country, but upon the whole universe. Let's notice that verse of Scripture again, "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" I look down in God's holy Word this morning, and I find that after 6,000 years, that's the time that we're approaching this very moment that we're living here upon this earth. That's very time has really come to an end. In other words, we're approaching actually the 6,000 year of time. We know it from God's holy Word. We realize, though, that the world is going to come under the judgment of Almighty God, exactly as God declares it's going to come under. And that's something all of us ought to be vitally concerned about. I look down just a little this chapter of God's holy word, and notice those strange, mysterious things that are going to take place. Let me just bring a few of them to our attention this morning. Then we'll get back to that special thought that we find there in the 18th verse, the first chapter of the book of Romans. The Bible lets us know that great earthquakes will shake the universe. Yes, we see the evidence of earthquakes. We know something about earthquakes. We realize that earthquakes are throughout the universe this morning, but nothing like they'll be in the last days. Then we also realize that the sun will become as black as sackcloth of hair. Of course, you won't need the sun when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, because he outshines the sun. That is a solemn thought for us to think about the sun becoming as black as sackcloth of hair. We find that the moon will become as blood. The stars of heaven shall fall. The mountains shall be removed from their places. Not only that, but God's word says that men are going to cry for the rocks of the mountain to fall upon us and hide us from the face of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Now I want you to turn your attention this morning solely to this first chapter of the book of Romans. As we look down at these precious truths we find given unto us here in the blessed word of Almighty God, we find that these terrible sins are described unto us that we are facing here in the universe. I never knew about these things whenever I was a young Christian. I read this first chapter of the book of Romans when I was just a young Christian, and I confess unto you, I didn't know too much about it. I just couldn't get too much light concerning it because it's so terrible. I couldn't even imagine such a thing. I'd never seen that fulfilled in my life in any way. But I've lived to see the day. Yes, I've lived to see the day when the first chapter of the book of Romans is being fulfilled, not only throughout all the universe, but right here in our very city, right here in our very midst, right here in churches, so-called at least, that are here upon the face of this earth. We find that all these things are going to take place, and we're going to see the fulfillment, of course, but already we've seen these terrible, terrible things that are taking place round about us from every hand. I want you to think with me this morning concerning the wrath of God. Yes, the wrath of God. God's holy word lets us know the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So that lets us know it's all going to be of God himself. In other words, not just what we might think of as tribulation here upon this earth and things that comes about through the hands of man, but friends, God's word lets us know the wrath of God is going to be manifest from heaven. In other words, it's God's doing. It's what God is going to allow to take place here upon this earth. It's what God is going to do himself. I look back in the Old Testament especially, and I find that there are several occasion there of what we describe as God's wrath. And I'm sure that you've read many times, you've heard them preached about many, many times, but I'm still going to name them in your presence this morning once again. We find, first of all, though, that the wrath of God shows forth God's hatred of sin and the awful doom of the wicked when God pours out his wrath upon a sinful world. That's the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. Yes, God Almighty is going to avenge the blood of God's people that have died down through the ages, going to avenge the blood of the Old Testament prophets. God Almighty is going to avenge the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, our only hope this morning is not through anything that you and I can do within ourselves, not through any good deeds of the flesh, because we don't have any, not through anything of that nature, but it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is what we want to exalt this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is one that we want to praise. I'm going to name these things first of all, though, and then I'm just trusting that I can truly, in some manner, maybe just using a few words, but in some manner, glorifying, magnifying the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He's so precious, He's so wonderful. Oh, all of us ought to be continually going about this land telling people what the Lord Jesus Christ does to His people and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Yes, we ought to tell people about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in these examples that we find given unto us back in the Old Testament, especially first of all, turn to Genesis, the 19th chapter, and in verse 24, the Bible says, "Then the Lord," notice now the Lord doing, it's the Lord Jehovah that did this, friends. The Bible says He rained from upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Yes, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it took place. Not only did it take place here in a small section of this earth, but it's going to take place in all the universe at God's appointed time. Yes, it's going to take place in all the universe in God's appointed time. We find that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Then we also go to the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 11. The Bible says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep opened up and the windows of heaven were opened." In other words, that's rain coming up from beneath, rain coming down from above. 40 days and 40 nights of rain here upon this earth. And all know that all the old antediluvian world was destroyed by the great flood that God sent in the days of Noah. Yes, all of that represents the wrath of Almighty God. Then I look down at that scene in Egypt, and I see that God's people are down there in the land of Egypt, and I find the old wicked Pharaoh, you know, had begun to persecute them in the special way that described unto us in God's word. In other words, Joseph had been dead now for nearly 400 years. We find that other Pharaohs came up there in Egypt that had no use for God. They had no use for God's people. They had no use for the things of Almighty God. So we find that they began to persecute God's people. That's one of the most terrible persecutions that's ever been here upon this earth also. Although it only affected, you know, that certain amount of people, between 2 and 3 million Israelites there in the land of Egypt, but nevertheless we find it was a terrible, terrible persecution against them. But God Almighty did not stand idly by. God Almighty began to plague the land of Egypt. You remember those plagues of how that the water was turned into blood, how that frogs came upon the land, how that lice came down, how that all kinds of things took place there, the 10 plagues especially that we find in the land of Egypt. But you remember there how that on the night of the Passover that the firstborn was slain. Yes, that was a terrible thing. They found that in all the houses there in Egypt that the firstborn had been slain, not only of man but also of cattle. That's when Pharaoh was glad to let Israel leave. Yes, he was glad to let Israel leave, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He began to do a little thinking. He said, "Why have we let Israel go?" And so Pharaoh gathered up all his chariots and all his men of war, and he followed after the Israelites. You remember how that God opened up the Red Sea, and how that the children of Israel went through the Red Sea there, dry shod, that is, wasn't a speck of mist, water to them in any way, but When old Pharaoh and all his army started through, God just let those waters come back and destroyed all of Pharaoh's army. Just destroyed all of them. Now what I'm emphasizing is God Almighty is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do in his word. All this universe one day is going to be burned over with fire. Yes, all the wicked are going to be destroyed. The only hope that man has is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't have to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon you and hide you from the face of the Lamb. God's people are going to look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Yes, we're going to see our blessed Savior. We're going to look upon our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to live with him forevermore. We're going to praise his name forevermore. Oh, when I think of the blessedness of my blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I tell you that just puts you on shouting ground when you realize what's going to take place as far as this old world is concerned, how that God Almighty is going to punish the wicked, but what God Almighty is going to do for his dear people. Yes, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be with our blessed Savior always. We're going to be with him forever and forever and forever. Yes, we're going to look upon that blessed countenance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Yes, he's so precious. Lord Jesus Christ is so precious. No wonder that old writer wrote that blessed song, Jesus, Savior of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Yes, I tell you, there's refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. I found refuge there many, many times. He's so blessed. He's so wonderful. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ gets so sweet to us as we live here upon this earth that we just find ourselves wanting to praise, wanting to glorify that wondrous, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to go to a few other verses of Scripture that we find given unto us in God's Word concerning the wrath of God. I must do this because I want to exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can't really exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until, first of all, I bring to your attention the terrible truths of the wrath of God that's going to be meted out. Then you and I can realize just how wonderful our blessed Savior is, what he's done for us, what's been accomplished through the cross of Calvary and through substitution on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Yes, I tell you, it's so wonderful. When I look at the last words of John the Baptist, all of us appreciate this great man of God, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the man that was so fearlessly in preaching God's word. I tell you, friends, you don't have to just look at these truths and wonder what John was saying and wonder what expression he was bringing out to the people so that they could understand more fully the great truths of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, also brought out the judgment of God that was to follow. I find in John the 3rd chapter, everyone knows what verse 16 tells us. Every little child, most even today, knows what John 3:16 tells us about God's love, how that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and how that God gave his only begotten Son. But there doesn't seem to be too many people who really know what John 3:36 tells us. Friends, we need to know what John 3:36 tells us, the same as what John 3:16 lets us know. John the Baptist, these among the last words of John the Baptist, incidentally. But he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him. Why did John make such terrible statements as that? Because he didn't love the souls of people, but because he didn't love the souls of sinful man? No. John the Baptist was fearless in preaching the great truth that he preached there concerning the judgment of Almighty God, because he loved the souls of men. Yes, that's the man that loved you. That's the man that loved your soul. That's the man that wants to see you saved. That's the man that doesn't want to know about your sinful life in confession. No, he doesn't want to know about your sinful life in confession, but he desires your soul. That's what he desires. Every true minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ would rather see people saved than anything there is on the face of this earth as far as living a Christian life is concerned. We want to see people redeemed through the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I love to hear you sing like you sung this morning. Love to hear you sing like you sing most all the time. And I tell you, it's just so good when God's people can be together, and when God's people do rejoice together, and when God's people sit in heavenly places here upon this earth and praise the wondrous blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to remind you this morning, though, the reason why the wrath of God is going to be met out upon this earth is because of the way this world has treated the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's the reason why that God Almighty is going to send judgment on this universe, because of the way that people have treated his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the reason why he's treating his son that way, but because they treated the prophets of God like they did. Read back there in the Old Testament and find out how that they persecuted and how that they killed the prophets of God. Men that told him the truth of God's holy word. Men that told him what God Almighty had given them to say. In other words, the message of the prophet for the message of God. Message that God Almighty wanted people to know that is so precious to the people of God. I look back at God's holy word also. I look down upon God's holy word. And I realize that John did warn people. In other words, it was God warning the people, of course, but John the Baptist was the spokesman in this case. John the Baptist bringing out the great truths there that God's people needs to know. You and I need to know the truth of God's word that calls us to turn from a sinful life. Turn from the sins of this place. Turn from the sins that bring dishonor to the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's the purpose of this blessed old book, friend. It tells you the truth of God's word, not what you might want to hear. Lord, it'll tell you the truth of the blessed word of Almighty God. Now look at this great scene that I see before me this morning by faith, going back there to the land of Palestine and going down there by the river of Jordan and seeing this great man of God preaching there, man by the name of John the Baptist, man dressed in such a peculiar manner, man whose food was locusts and wild honey, a man who fearlessly proclaimed the truths of God's holy word, bringing out the great truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was to come. And I find these blessed words in the book of Luke, the 3rd chapter, in verse 7. And incidentally, you'll find exactly the same truth, I believe, brought out in the book of Matthew, 3rd chapter, also close to verse 7 also. Let's notice, though, this blessed truth. The Bible says, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Yes, John looked out and he saw a peculiar people there. Yes, he saw sinners. He saw multiplied thousands of people there in his ministry without the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, men who were on the broad road that leads to destruction, men that didn't know anything at all about the blood of Jesus Christ. Of course, it had never been shed at that time, and many other wondrous truths of God's word. Yes, but he saw this other group of people there by the name of Pharisees and Sadducees. This is the first time you find these people described unto us in God's Word. You'd have to read their history. Somehow they came along. They didn't love God. They made out like they loved God. They had no use for the Lord Jesus Christ, never did have any use for the Lord Jesus Christ except individuals that God saved among the Pharisees. I've never read in all the New Testament where a single Sadducee was born again of God's Holy Spirit. As far as I know, all of them died without Christ. All of them lived their lives apart from the cleansing blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They valued themselves too highly. You can't value yourself too highly, friends. No, you and I need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that you and I need to have our faith and trust in. This is a strange thought here, and I checked into it just a little bit. You know, to call someone a viper is sort of an unusual expression to use, no matter who would use it, but especially a man of God such as John the Baptist used an expression like this. But I've done a little checking there concerning this expression, the vipers, that John was in reference to. And I find that it's a perfect picture of sin. It's a perfect type of sin. It lets us know how that sin can appear to you in a beautiful manner, but how destructive that sin is. I found out that these vipers that no doubt John was in reference to here were sort of beautifully colored creatures. In other words, they weren't just the old repulsive figure that you see in so many of the reptiles that we know of, snakes as we call them, but I'm told that these were more or less brightly colored vipers, and that really to look upon, they didn't look too terrible at all. They didn't look like that they would be too dangerous. The writers that I read after said that you couldn't see their teeth. In other words, their teeth were concealed back in their head. It's only when they opened up their jaws in order to attack, in order to bite, that you saw those fangs there, which that terrible poison came from. Then we find, friends, that John looked upon that group of people, though, and John says, you're not candidates for baptism. No, you're not candidates for baptism. John knew the heart. Of course, God Almighty had revealed unto him these old Pharisees and Sadducees had no love for God, no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Their only purpose was to come down there to John's baptism, what we might say, to stir up trouble. John knew that water baptism wouldn't save them. Wouldn't have done a bit of good to baptize these old Pharisees and Sadducees who John is speaking up here, because John knew the heart. God had revealed it to him. And he could have baptized them 1,000 times. He could have baptized thousands of them, but not a single one of them would have been saved, been cleansed through water baptism. And so that's why he brought this great message here concerning the wrath of Almighty God, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now you and I ought to appreciate God's word this morning. You and I ought to appreciate the great truths of God's holy word. God Almighty has let us listen to the truths of the Bible. God Almighty has let us listen to men of God that were filled with God's Holy Spirit, flaming fires, as Calvin brought out this message and his message this morning also. Yes, we find, friends, that God's been kind and merciful. God Almighty has let us find out what a terrible, terrible thing that sin is. God let us know what a terrible thing that individual sins are. That's why you have this first chapter of the book of Romans. That's why you're seeing these awful, terrible things take place here upon this earth today. It's already been revealed in God's word. God let us know it nearly 2,000 years ago. Not only 2,000 years ago, but back there under the law, 1,500 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, while I'm emphasizing the fact, though, you and I ought to be thankful this morning that God's let us see the truth of His blessed word. Yes, He's let us see the truth of His blessed word. Yes, that's the great truth there of our text today. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does the wrath of God mean, though, Pastor? Well, the wrath of God means everlasting destruction. That's terrible. Yes, that's terrible even to think about. You've seen some sickness here upon this earth. You've seen people whose bodies were racked with pain. You've seen some pitiful conditions here for bodies reared up with cancer and terrible things of that nature. That's bad enough, friends. Isn't that terrible enough? See these awful things that we've seen here upon this earth concerning the physical body. And I tell you, the wrath of God goes further than just the physical death. It means everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Not only that, friends, but it also means separation from God forever. You know, I'm amazed today. Of course, I maybe would have felt the same way if God had not dealt with my soul, but I'll never understand how those who profess the name of Jesus Christ think they can live without God today. But millions are living in that manner today. Yes, they're not concerned about the things of Almighty God, not concerned about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And millions of people today who once made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ live apart from God this morning. Live apart from God. Yes, that's terrible, friends. That's something ought to stir our souls this morning. I still say it'd be 1,000 times better to leave this world through the fire of death than to stand in God's presence there and hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Yet we find that this awful separation from God represents the second death, described unto us in God's word. Physical death is bad enough, but the awful second death that is described unto us, the Bible, the awful lake of fire that is described unto us, several portions of God's holy word dealing with the wrath of God and how terrible it is, then bringing out the great truth, though, of the mercy and goodness of Almighty God. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning. Yes, I brought out to you some thoughts there concerning the wrath of God. I tried to make known unto you that God Almighty is going to judge this universe one day. I've tried to show us that if we're not born again of God's Holy Spirit, that we're going to be forever separated from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then, oh, friends, I tell you, my mind also goes to this other great truth, these other great doctrines of God's Holy Word that deals with God's great love for sinners. Yes, all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. It's not a soul in this building this morning that deserves salvation. Not a soul in this building that could earn salvation. Not a soul in this building that could obtain salvation in any manner. That is, in any manner within yourself, but salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, God delights in saving sinners. I rejoice whenever I read that blessed truth in God's holy word that God doesn't get any delight. God gets no pleasure out of the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their wicked way and live. Turn ye, saith the Lord, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Then I have that glorious truth now as I said concerning the cross of Calvary, concerning our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to speak on now in these closing moments. Yes, I want you and I to see the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. I want you and I to realize that we're sinners, but I want you to realize there's cleansing through the blood of God's Son. Yes, He came to save sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, to save the ungodly, to save the cheapest sinners such as Saul of Tarsus, to save people like we are this morning. Just that's the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. You know, I love the writings of the old Puritans. Makes me ashamed whenever I read the writings of the old Puritans. This week I obtained 3 books. In other words, I wanted to help the person out that wanted to sell the books. Yet on the other hand, I also wanted to benefit these great truths, the great writings of the old Puritans. And I read this blessed book in part, at least 3 of them. I'll eventually read the whole 3 volumes, but oh, I tell you, this old Puritan just dwelt entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow I just can't do that. I want to, desire to, but somehow or another it just doesn't seem to be in me. But these old Puritans had the grace of God upon them, the love of God within their heart to such an extent that they could just talk about the Lord Jesus all day. Yes, they could talk about the Lord Jesus Christ all day and preach on the Lord Jesus Christ all day. Here's the word, though, the old Puritan. And I want you to look back with me now. You're going to have to go back to the days of Spurgeon. And that was even way back there several years before even I was born myself. So going back several years with me this morning. And I want you to see this old Puritan, though, that is preaching in Spurgeon's tabernacle. In other words, Spurgeon opened up the great metropolitan tabernacle there, and he had his friends to come, some of the men there that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, as Spurgeon did. I believe at least 5 of them brought 5 special messages there concerning the sovereignty of Almighty God on this special occasion, but just want to bring just 1 special thought that was preached there that very precious, been preserved. And I read it, and so I was able to pass it on to you. The old Puritan said that if you have fled to Jesus as a poor, empty, believing sinner, yes, poor, empty, believing sinner, there is not a throb of love in his loving heart. Not a throb of blood from the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a drop of blood in his flowing veins. Not a particle of grace in his mediatorial fullness. Nor a thought of peace in his divine mind, which is not yours. Did you know God loved you with the same love that he loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the kind of love that God has for his people. Yes, that's why God Almighty can look down upon a poor sinner and redeem him through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was God's Son who went to the cross of Calvary. It was God's Son who went to the cross. It was God's Son who shed his blood there on the cross of Calvary. I look at a special verse of Scripture. I've quoted in your presence many, many times before, but you find it in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 9. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, that's why I brought out the wrath of God first of all, because I wanted to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see how wonderful Christ is, how beautiful that Christ is, friends. Yes, I want you to see what a wonderful Savior that you and I have this morning. And I want you to realize how precious is the cleansing blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how God justifies a poor sinner, not through your blood, not through the blood of angels. They don't have blood, not through the blood of the martyrs, but through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, through Christ's blood. Yes, we must know the blessed Savior to admire him. We must admire him to love him. We must love him to serve him. Without love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't serve him in this life, friend, you can't really have the love for God that you like to have. You can't have the love for Jesus Christ that you like to have, not until you're truly born again of God's Holy Spirit. Then you see that great love that God has for His Son. That's why God has allowed His Son to die that awful death of the crucifixion. That's why God turned His back upon His own Son hanging there on the cross when He died there in the sinner's stead. Yes, I want to use about a minute now. I want you to think about that cross, though, and that cleansing, justifying blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so precious to God's people. And I find that His blood cleanses my guilt. His grace subdues my sins. His patience bears with my infirmities. His gentleness succors my weakness. His love quickens my obedience. His sympathy soothes my sorrows. Yes, we have a great Savior this morning. We have one that loves us. We have one that cares for us. One that's very precious to us. We live here in this life.